B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, June 3rd, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get caught up on what we did over the weekend. Plus, we'll take a look at DreamHack and the return of the LCS Summer Split. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today by talking about the ongoing difficulties at Blizzard Games. Following the departure of Nate Nanzer, reports are surfacing that many other employees are now turning in their notice. Joining me to help break down this important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard. And Joe Sloan.
Check a look. Yeah, guys, so obviously we know recently Overwatch lost their commissioner when Nate Nanzer announced that he would be taking a job at Epic Games to work on their Fortnite esports scene. Now we've got Kim Fan, Blizzard's global product director for esports. He's set to leave the company along with a slew of other employees from top to bottom. And I don't think I can understate this when I say we are coming up on season 3 and home and away matches, which would be an ambitious undertaking in the best of circumstances, and we are clearly no longer in the best of circumstances.
Now, here's what we know is that we know Nate Nanzer is going to be jumping over to Epic Games to ostensibly help them jumpstart the Fortnite esports scene.
Correct.
Much needed.
And help organize it. Or at least that's kind of what we thought.
That's what we assumed.
Although, now with these new reports, I'm not sure that that's necessarily so clear-cut.
It does feel like there's some sort of pall that's been cast over that move specifically, because it does feel, even if they're not related, it does begin to feel like there's something sort of like rotten in the state of Denmark, unfortunately. And this, you're hearing more and more stories. This, of course, is in the wake of those massive layoffs that happened a few months ago, which doesn't help anything. So this continues to sort of put a really, really, you know, dark cloud over the Blizzard esports division in particular.
Yeah, well, one of the primary reasons for the exodus is right now is low morale, which they're attributing not only to the massive layoffs that we saw earlier this year, but also one of the big problems is current management. Employees are reportedly unhappy working under Blizzard Esports president and CEO Pete Vlastelica. He has a background in traditional sports, having come from Fox Sports before making his way into Blizzard, and apparently there is a lot of headbutting going on over what the appropriate direction to take Blizzard esports is.
Now, see, this is where I get it. If you have a new boss coming in trying to change stuff up, that's definitely going to affect morale, especially if you feel like it should be going in a different direction. Yeah. However, when you're looking at esports overall and how, you know, there's this supposed, maybe, you know, there might be a bubble there somewhere. When you look at something like Riot Games, which is technically, League of Legends, which is technically operated in the red
for a long time,
you know, it doesn't operate in the red. Traditional sports, right?
Yeah, right, because if they operate in the red, they go away.
Right, so that's the thing, is I get the direction that they're taking, and I think overall it is something that they should probably be doing.
Well, but that's the point, is that most of the staff don't necessarily feel that way. According to, you know, the interviews that have been done, is that the staff feels like there should be more attention put towards the community aspect of it. And when we're talking about a game like Overwatch, there has been a drop in player base. It hasn't been a game that's grown significantly in the same way that Dota and League and others have over the course of these few years. So I think there is legitimately something to be said for how the staff feels about this as well.
That shouldn't just be put on the Overwatch League, though. Part of that's also on Blizzard and keeping up development for their game as well.
Well, and we've seen what happens, you know, they're talking about like this whole idea of commercializing esports, which we're starting to see on a massive scale all across esports. It's not just Blizzard by any stretch of the imagination,
right.
Whether it's CSGO, whether it's Rocket League, whether it's Fortnite, League of Legends, we're seeing this massive commercialization because we're trying to bring esports from the era that we were in, from the era of a prize pool of $500 and we're playing in the dorms of colleges, to this thing that is, it needs to be able to compete with the likes of traditional sports.
You're absolutely right, Joe, and I'm glad that you brought this up. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports 1360 WSAI in Cincinnati, Ohio, as well as Talk Radio 1360 KKBJ in Bemidji, Minnesota. We're currently talking about the low morale apparently over at Blizzard Games connected with both Overwatch development and the esports scene. And here's the thing. Is that, you know, I understand that there is going to be a push and a pull from the old guard and maybe some newer guard coming in that don't understand esports, but do understand commercializing in a much more fundamental way. And the thing about it is that, you know, yes, esports as a whole is going through this big commercialization and this big, you know, kind of push towards the mainstream. So this is inevitable that it's going to happen one way or the other. And I don't think that laying it all at the feet of, you know, Pete is very fair here, because this is a necessary step, and there is no one who's done it better, and we've identified this on the show multiple times,
that's right,
than Overwatch League has done in the 3 years that they've been kind of putting their scene together.
And look at the sponsorships that they have gotten. It hasn't just been stuff with Logitech and endemic sort of brands. They've got big legacy American brands.
Auto manufacturers. Apparel.
You know, State Farm.
Yes.
They got Coca-Cola.
Exactly.
That is the brand.
They got Coke.
Anheuser-Busch.
Another Coke, one, yeah. Nike. You get that's like the holy trinity of brands for you to try to capture.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like what Robbie was alluding to earlier, that for years, League of Legends esports ran in the red. And
might still be.
It might. It's hard to say nowadays because we don't ever get a real good look at the numbers anymore. But Riot said for years they were very defensive of it, saying like, listen, the esports scene drives interest in our game.
It's
worth it for us to run that in the red at a tolerable loss for us to continue building interest in the game. But the problem is, back then you had a bunch of different organizations that were running your different regions and whatnot. Riot runs everything now, and the budget to do so has ballooned over the last few years.
Exactly.
You have to make money on
this. And see, this is the kind of push-pull that we've been seeing, is like, you know, the community is dissatisfied with the game, or player numbers fall off, and you know, somehow that's laid at the feet of the esports scene, or it's GOATS' problem, or it's GOATS' fault, whatever it is. Because I'm not as into Overwatch, I can't really track it as well, but this seems to me like a good way to kind of think about the way that you develop your game. The question of whether, you know, when you develop your game, do you balance it for the pros or do you balance it for the casual player base is still kind of at the heart of every game that is also an esport.
And we're about to see, by the way, there's a champion in League of Legends right now who's about to bring that discussion into the spotlight. Yuumi, the new champion.
Yeah.
She is almost unplayable if you're a casual. She's so terrible. But pro players are saying, no, she's busted good. We're about to see that very conversation.
But I think also the bigger thing is that we still can't necessarily ignore those communities as well. I think what the staff really has
I think Blizzard can. I think Blizzard can ignore a lot of their vocal player base, because their vocal player base straight up doesn't know what they're talking about and is just repeating Slasher. That's all they do, is they just want to be Rod Breslau for the day and light up Twitter with their hot takes. And I think, you know what, I'm getting a little bit tired of that. I would rather leave this to the experts, to the people who know how to balance the game, and let the rest of the community just shut up. Let the pros handle it, and let the rest of the community just shut up and eat their Overwatch.
Who then goes out and buys your game? Who then goes out and buys the microtransactions for your games? If the community, if I agree or disagree with them, that's not important. But if your community feels alienated from the game, feels alienated from the development cycle, that's something that actively is starting to impact games.
Emulate Riot's approach. Riot went, it's about the esports scene.
You're also assuming that if they commercialize, if they start making money the way that like traditional sports leagues are doing it, are people just suddenly not playing the game, people are going to be unhappy with a change in the way they manage it one way or another. It doesn't mean that the new direction is wrong or detrimental overall to the organization or the game.
And one thing that we saw, to kind of talk about the importance of commercializing, we saw this with Heroes of the Storm. Team Liquid was sharply critical of Blizzard for failing to commercialize Heroes of the Storm properly. Now, I'm not sure that Heroes of the Storm could have been commercialized properly to remain viable, but the point is we've seen what happens when games aren't able to turn a profit from their esports scene. They go away. Like, they're not going to continue to be supported. And it's like, I can feel for the people who really enjoyed watching or playing Heroes of the Storm. I totally get why that would rub you the wrong way.
But guess what? You can still download Heroes of the Storm. You can still play it. Guess what? You can go be casual at it and have fun. But it didn't make an iota of a dent in the player base. At the end of the day, would an esports team, would a strong competitive esports scene have done more at the end of the day for Heroes of the Storm? Maybe it would have. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I only have a limited knowledge of these things, but I think that Blizzard has identified an opportunity to really dig their heels in on the monetization and have that work out for them.
Yeah, and like I say, for this very discussion, keep your eyes on Riot over the next 6 months, because you're going to see it start playing out with some of their champions in the very near future here.
All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Do you think that this is a big deal, like the low morale over at Blizzard? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And if you think I'm wrong, come and tell me I'm wrong. I'd love to hear that I'm wrong. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in on the latest action in NPL, the LCS, plus we'll take a look at the big winners out at DreamHack Dallas. But ahead next, we'll play some catch-up from the weekend and see what everyone was up to. Our weekend update is ahead next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling and the WWE, and Talkin' Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Before we go any further, guys, we didn't do a weekend update last week because we had so much to get done after the holiday weekend. So, about this weekend, what did everyone get up to?
It was a busy weekend. I feel like I had barely had a time to, like, sit down this weekend. Like, Saturday was Pride, so that was that whole day.
Did you guys get rained out? Because it was not, like, weather-wise over the weekend was not fun. We got hail up where I was.
Wow. Okay, so we didn't get hail. We got to Pride in the morning. We were there for most of the day. Had a lot of beer. Beer was going good.
It was ever flowing.
It was going good.
Peak dad Joe over there. The beer got to going.
They had special beers where all proceeds went to, like, LGBT charities.
Oh, nice.
So,
I'm glad they didn't try to do rainbow beer.
I was just supporting the scene, you know what I mean?
I dig it.
No.
I dig it.
So, yeah, we were drinking, checking out some of the shops. Around 2 o'clock on the distance, you could see some ugliness was getting ready to roll through. So we kind of made a break for the car at that point and just made it in time. That was a wild day.
You also had an uninvited guest, I hear.
So we've actually had our uninvited guest for a while now. We've been contending with a Jagundus carpenter ant in our house.
A normal-sized carpenter
Jagundus
ant.
Yeah, I mean, like, that long.
It was not that long, not, Joe. Stop it.
There's no way.
I saw that picture.
I want you to ask Sarah about it tomorrow, because
Yeah. Who had to deal with the Aunt Jo?
Let me tell you straight up, it was not me. I was having none of it. So he hangs out on our ceiling in the living room. And the last few times...
Just kill it.
I'm getting there.
Yeah, oh, Mr. Okay. 6 foot tall. You could have reached.
So last time we went to go kill it, and he went up into one of the light fixtures, and that was just it. We couldn't get him.
Oh, he got away.
He got away. He escaped the first time.
He escaped.
So the second time it happens, we're just sitting there playing games, and Sarah just goes, I'm just going to say, if you look up, you're going to be really upset. Because she knows I hate insects. And I'm like, is the ant back? She's like, oh, it sure is. Oh, boy, is it. And so she's like, I'm like, well, you better go get a ladder and kill it. Because I wasn't going to.
6 foot
why,
tall
why
Joe
wouldn't you, why?
Puts the responsibility of bug
me?
Killing on his 4 foot
it's
tall girlfriend.
Yeah, that's correct.
It's an ant.
So while,
even if it is a carpenter ant, if it bites you, it's not that bad.
Yeah, so she went.
You've been stung by a bee before, haven't you?
Oh, many.
Arguably, way worse than
way
a carpenter ant.
I would say definitely way worse than a carpenter
ant. Yeah, so
I,
what the f*** are you so...
So
upset about.
I just don't like insects anymore. I've had Jesus. Three insect moments that have led to that. One time, I put on a coat that a bunch of spiders had made a nest in.
Okay, that's
okay.
So
objectively terrifying.
I literally put it on, walked out the door, and I had spiders coming up my face.
You were
that
also
was horrific.
The one that had the spider in your.
I had a
headset.
Spider in my headset that went into my ear and bit the inside of my ear. That happened. And one year, a family or a wasp nest made a home in my room in the basement.
The family of wasps.
Yeah, family of wasps. I don't know why I call it that. I rolled over in my sleep to where a wasp was sleeping on my pillow, and it stung my face.
Well, stay on your side of the bed.
I'm telling you, I've had a bad run with insects, and I don't like them.
So if the carpenter ant fell on you, it would have just plopped on you, and you would have gotten up.
Okay, so why didn't you...
Anyway, I hid under a cover while she killed it.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
you coward.
Yeah.
Does she open the peanut butter jars, too?
No, I open all the jars in the house.
You coward.
Listen, if you hate bugs, you should have just killed it with extreme prejudice.
You know what? Yeah. Because she let it go. She let it outside.
Oh, so now
back.
It's going to come back.
It's coming back.
That's my concern. That's said moments like the very next morning. We got our ortho and went ham around the perimeter of the house. Hopefully that'll work.
There's
supposedly a centipede who lives in the basement. And
don't kill it.
Now, here's the thing. Yes, I hate centipedes. They're horrific, but they eat the shit out of spiders
don't
and all other insects. Yep.
So
I'm going to leave it.
And them motherfuckers do fast anyway.
Well, that's true.
Did you call Orkin or something?
No, we
probably should.
Why?
Well, I mean, a carpenter.
Well, that's a carpenter can be a big problem. I did say if we see another one, we have to call an exterminator because it might be eating our attic.
Yeah.
Which would be a huge problem.
Yeah. See, that's the bigger problem. See, that's what I would have been more freaked out about is I would have been like
the colony of carpenter ants.
I would have been
kill
the ant.
Right.
Now let's go up to the attic and see what the f*** the problem.
Yeah,
is.
We actually don't have a ladder that can get us up into our attic.
You probably need to
you
get
probably,
on that.
Yeah. Well, actually, we don't go up there. Get
send Sarah
quote.
Up there. You're right. Send
no,
Sarah.
Send Robbie Fatstack.
Send there Robbie Fatstack.
Let a man do it.
The issue is we have a ladder, but they built the attic right over where our stairs go up, so it's like on a weird incline.
Just
you can't put a ladder
just,
there.
Just put Sarah on your shoulders and have her look up there. That's what you
that
do.
That might work.
Yeah. My weekend was less eventful. I did go see the new Godzilla film.
How was it?
Oh, I really want to see it.
Great. It was great.
Yay? Okay.
Really?
No,
it was,
cool.
Look, if you liked the 2014 Godzilla, which was all right, and you liked Kong, Skull Island.
I really like
you
Kong.
Will really like this one.
Like
people,
Kong.
First of all, a lot of people are apparently saying that there was too that there was too much monster fighting and not enough human drama.
All right.
Stop. Who the fuck is going to a Godzilla movie for the character development?
Man, I don't know. I thought it could have like as
there
great
was
as
two
it
hours
was,
of monster fighting. I've been fine with that.
As
I don't
great
even
as
know
it,
humans.
Yes, as great as it was, it could have still taken even more monster fighting.
I did see a meme over the weekend that was it was the Thor meme with the Peter Dinklage character,
and he's like,
is the new Godzilla movie good? And Thor's like, only if you like monster battles and not a lot of human drama. And he's like, yes, that's what a good Godzilla movie is.
Yep. And I also restarted on Steam Grand Theft Auto 5 because I never finished it on the Xbox.
Oh, awesome.
Nice.
About getting into some of that GTA roleplay, Robbie?
We'll see. Yes. I'm going to try to finish the story first before I try and go do extracurricular stuff that might kill my motivation.
Come on, man. I really want to do GTA roleplay, but I don't want to do it alone.
Maybe because that also requires like more mods and stuff like that. And I had a hell of a time just getting a controller to freaking work on the stupid
I think
thing.
That's the control because you said you tried.
I was using
Xbox controller,
Xbox One. That's
your problem.
That worked fine
no,
on Sekiro.
That's your problem.
Get a PS4
no,
controller
I use
way
on Sekiro.
Thank you.
No
thank
problem.
You.
Well, that's what
you don't even need input mapper anymore. The,
oh,
the Sony
the firmware
put,
update.
Yeah, Sony put
you
put out
you do need some program that I did download. But yes, doing that was a lot easier. But man, I was pretty upset with that Xbox controller for a minute.
My weekend wasn't as eventful as well. I was on the west side of the state with my girlfriend's family.
I'm so
sisters.
Sorry, man. The west side of the state is like the weirdest place.
It's very
so
weird.
Boring.
It's
dude,
very
I'm
weird.
Telling you, man, we went to that Renaissance Fair out there, and I got an abrupt reminder that we are not in Kansas anymore.
Do you like Walmarts and Bible stores? Because that's pretty much what you're going to find
We're
out on the
Kalamazoo.
West side of the state.
Kalamazoo
is kind of got...
College town,
yeah, it's got
so.
Some more college. Yeah, they've got...
Battle Creek's the same way. Isn't that where Western is?
No,
where's
Kalamazoo.
Western? No. Oh, Kalamazoo. Never mind, I'm thinking Kalamazoo.
Yeah. They've got a Mena's joint out there, so at least, you know, there's good food.
At least there's that.
There's great beer. It's like
yeah,
all
beer.
The best beer.
Yeah, that is true.
Beer they have in space.
There's a lot
there.
Of good beer that's
But anyway,
out there.
That was cool. But I was kicking it with her little nephew who was playing, who's got real deep into Ark. He's like 8, and he's just like deep into playing Ark.
Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
I have
Ark.
No idea.
Does he play it a lot solo, or is he playing it with people? Because I feel like that's not a game that you can play solo.
Dude, he gets it in solo.
Really? Wow.
Solo dolo. He's playing a lot of Ark. And like, he's just like, Noise, come up. He's got this thing with his voice. He's like, Noise, come over here. Look at my house. I got all my dinosaurs. And he has like 50 dinosaurs just chilling around
Dude,
his house.
I played Ark when it first came out for early access for about 6 hours. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
And, so,
and that was the early, early days,
He's deep into it, man. And I'm just like, what a strange, odd, random game for an 8-year-old.
For that to be
like.
The one, yeah.
Yeah,
it's just a better looking Minecraft,
man. Isn't Ark the one where when you sign off, someone can come and still wreck your stuff?
Even back when I played, there were options for like types of servers you wanted to be on.
Yeah, that was probably
okay.
Like an
okay.
Yes. Server.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, my weekend was also kind of uneventful. I did get to go see Wu-Tang Clan on Friday.
That's cool.
That
How
was
were
pretty
they?
Good. They were really good.
It's Wu-Tang, man.
It's Wu-Tang.
On,
I mean,
it's 35 people on stage.
Yep. Yeah, so you say it like I've ever been to a Wu-Tang
Come
Clan
on.
I've seen
Look at him. Look at him, Norris. You don't know what
right,
a Wu-Tang
so,
is.
Nate, you know our objective is to get Joe at a Wu-Tang concert.
Oh, yeah. That should happen. Yeah. I've seen, but I really...
Look on Joe's face. I don't know if I want to do this.
I'm trying to think, like, what kind of music are they again?
Like, I
God, See, he doesn't.
I hate you so much.
Authentic.
I've seen Wu-Tang Clan a lot, and I actually like started. I've seen them 4 or 5 times in my life because, like, I saw them early on when they were opening for people. I saw one of the very first concerts I ever went to.
Back
go
when
see.
Ghostface still had that warrant, so he literally still had to wear a mask.
Yep.
what?
You don't listen around.
Yeah. don't worry about it. One of the very first shows that I ever went to was Rage Against the Machine, and Wu-Tang Clan was opening for him. I think ODB was actually still alive then.
Yikes, that was years ago.
That was a long time. And I was, dude, now, my dad was an awesome parent, but I don't know that I would have let my 11-year-old kid go to the Palace, even though it is the Palace, to go see Wu-Tang Clan and Rage Against the Machine, because there was definitely...
How old again?
11.
Yeah, that's a bit and young.
There was definitely a risk that I was going to die.
But this is the late 90s, early 2000s.
It is.
Though.
It was,
so,
yeah.
Was that the one where he just like dropped you off and was like, I'll be back later?
Yeah. That was like most of the shows
I
went to.
Fair,
I mean,
yeah.
But that's how a dad get down. Like, you know what I'm saying?
My dad was not going
to
sit there and like wait. Like, I think he did that for one... Yeah, well, that has my dad. Yes, my dad did spend 3 years in the seminary, but you would never know that.
Oh, okay.
Like,
oh, okay.
He's not a
saintly guy.
He's not a pious man by any means.
Oh, okay. All right,
but
cool.
It's one of those things where like I just think if he wasn't genuinely interested in the band, he had no desire to be there.
No desire to be there.
Yeah,
like a dad would.
Yeah, like one of the few concerts I did go with him to was and again this is when I was like. like really young, I had to be like 11 or 12, was I saw Green Day and the Queers at the 11th House in Pontiac.
Not bad.
And at the time, 105.1 The Edge used to do these things called Edge Sessions, where they would take the biggest band that they could book, and they would book them in the smallest venue that they could, and there would be no tickets sold. All the tickets were given away over the radio. And it was just this awesome promotional event. And
that,
so
that is actually,
that's pretty cool.
It was a great idea, and I've never seen anyone do it since, and I don't know why. But anyway, they took Nimrod era Green Day and put them in a venue that normally serves 200 people.
Wow.
And that's where I got to see Green Day for my very first time.
One of the best shows you had ever been to.
That is the best show that I've ever been to.
I am a full proponent of the small venue.
Absolutely.
A full proponent of the small venue.
Absolutely. And the great thing was to see a band who had clearly been playing like large auditoriums, you know. Again, this was Nimrod era Green Day.
Yeah.
Green Day was selling out stadiums on Dookie Tour. You know, like to see them get to go back to an environment that they knew so well. They destroyed the stage. They destroyed all of their gear, lit it on fire. I mean, it was the greatest show I have ever seen anyone play. And you didn't need the light show. You didn't need the insane sound system. You didn't need costume changes midway through. It was just three dudes going on stage and playing their asshole.
I honestly think that's true of any performance as well. Because some of the best theater productions I was in was actually in the Black Box up at CMU, which is just this little tiny studio off to the side of the actual, you know, big stage and auditorium.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the times it's when you don't have, like, it's nice to see all the, it's like going to Vegas, right?
Yeah.
It's nice to see all the pomp and circumstance, but there's something to be said for just doing something in your backyard. You know what I mean?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's very true. Speaking of our backyard, I know that we're probably going to cover this on tomorrow's news segment, but I just want to talk about it for a hot second. The LCS.
We're going to cover it in our next segment, actually.
Oh, is it going to be in the next segment?
Yeah, we'll hold.
All right, we'll hold on it then. All right, well, stick around. That's going to actually be coming up next here on Checkpoint XP, but we do want to hear from you. Make sure you connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get caught up on the major esports league and tournaments from over the weekend. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. League of Legends returned for the LCS Summer Split over the weekend, and we'll recap all the action there. But first, though, we'll check out everything that happened at DreamHack Masters Dallas and the NPL. But let's start off with DreamHack, actually.
Yeah, actually, you know, DreamHack has a big FGC sort of presence now as well.
Which, I'm sorry, and, Norris, I had completely forgotten that the FGC was active at DreamHack.
It's all love, because I really didn't watch too much else at DreamHack but the FGC.
That's
stuff,
fair.
To be fair. But the thing is that I hate to sound like a broken record, y'all, but Punk has won another tournament.
Well, this is, You don't have to sound like a broken record. Just reporting the news.
It's
a fact.
He's been that dominant. His Karen's been that good. He's beat out Hot Dog 29. And don't be afraid if you haven't heard some of these names at DreamHack. It usually is mostly North American talent at DreamHack.
Was there anybody else there that even vaguely threatened him?
Not really. Okay. I mean, nobody's vaguely threatened him in almost any tournament this season.
Really?
So, I mean, he's
much less North American talent.
Exactly. Yeah. He's looked that sharp this season. We have Mute Ace again, another lesser known name, wins in Smash Ultimate.
And what character?
Peach.
What a shock. Wait, a Peach one?
Yeah.
I know that Peach is like fairly high tier.
Pretty high tier.
But here's the thing, we're all just traumatized by playing against Peach.
Absolutely.
We have a friend who plays Peach obscenely well.
Yes.
And we are all traumatized.
Mikey Lanisha is a Peach pro. In my world, he is a Peach god.
Yep.
Only because I've never been rocked that hard by anyone at anything.
Yeah. Literally, you guys had told me about it for a while, and then I went and actually played against him. I did not land a hit. It was that kind of embarrassing.
Yikes.
Ouch.
Yeah, but in the biggest upset of the night, we had Deoxys.
The Pokemon?
The man.
Oh.
completely upset. After a bracket reset, the combo breaker champion Scar in Mortal Kombat 11. Now, this is the Scar that beat Sonic Fox in Grand Finals at Combo Breaker. But Deoxys is a name that has been around, that is sort of in the top echelon, but kind of wasn't on the level of your Scars and your Sonic Foxes and such like that. So
the Pokemon would have shocked me more, though.
Yes.
Over in Rocket League, DreamHack Masters Dallas represented the second of four DreamHack Rocket League events. Cloud9 were the big winners, taking home first place and $50,000 after they beat Team Solo Mid 4-2.
No surprise.
The MVP honors went to Cloud9's gimmick. And, of course, the main event at DreamHack was CSGO, which had a $250,000 prize pool. Once again, Astralis was absent from the event, but major players like Team Liquid, Ents, Renegades, Vitality, and FaZe Clan were all on hand. The final saw Team Liquid and Ents Gaming square off, with Liquid emerging victorious 2-1 in the set. For that win, they're going to take home $100,000.
Here's the question I have. It seems like when Astralis is not around, Team Liquid is starting to sort of emerge as a dominant
Liquid
force here.
Ents, FaZe Clan, these are the teams that are starting to really round out the
top
four.
Are we seeing parity because Astralis has been absent?
Yeah, we are. I mean, not just because that they've been absent, but even over at the Blast Pro Series, Ents Gaming beat Astralis.
That's
like
right.
These are teams that are going to start competing. The win marks Liquid's second point towards the Intel Grand Slam following their win at IEM Sydney. Everyone's eyes are now going to turn towards the finals of the ESL Pro League, where both Liquid and Astralis are expected to run into each other at some point. So we'll get a real idea.
And before we move off of DreamHack Dallas, I really want to shout out the organizers of DreamHack Dallas, who booked the metal band Trivium to play. And I want everyone to go out there and kind of look up this speech that the lead singer of Trivium did while he was out there talking about how his two worlds, metal and video games, his favorite thing, are colliding, and how, you know, he always felt like metal and video games were for the outsiders. And, you know, it's this great. I loved it. I loved seeing, a band like Trivium at something like DreamHack Dallas. All right, moving on to the NPL with 1 week to go. This phase of the NPL is way closer than in phase one. The Rumblers have gotten out to a pretty hefty lead. They sit at 217 points, with second place a tie of Ghost Gaming and Tempo Storm at 197. Cloud9 and Player One Esports round out the top five. Here's the thing. I want to talk about Tempo Storm here for just
sure.
a second.
I didn't think they were playing this stage.
They were doing really, really well in phase two up until they got to NPL Royale.
Right.
Seemed like things started to fall apart at NPL Royale, and then they got back for this last week of competition. They won no rounds and only put up 19 points on the board. What is happening to this team?
Well, it is weird. Like, that's the sort of thing that can happen a lot of times in esports. Something goes wrong. wrong. Your team gets out of rhythm. Suddenly the communication's not looking good. One thing kind of cascades into the next, and it can be tough.
Yeah, I do definitely feel like Tempo Storm is playing on tilt. Hopefully they'll get it together for this last week of play. I really wanted to be able to highlight a quick moment here because there was an amazing moment where Lazarus eliminated BMG, and we just got to take a look at this.
They should be able to get the reses unless, look, Lazarus, they hop two in a vehicle. They're heading out this way.
This is your time.
He knows.
He's got the grenade.
He's got the grenade.
Can
prepped.
He just throw it as he's running through? It's going to bounce away. Got to be very careful that they don't run over. They see the smoke, and they just run through him like bowling pins.
Oh, my God. Alo hops out, tries to get the smoke. Oh! That's going to do it for BMG.
Oh, man.
Wow, what a wild finish.
What a brutal elimination there for BMG, getting run over by a car, eliminating three squad members after cooking a grenade in the car, something I actually didn't know you could do. Stupid me. But they threw it one way to kind of to cut off their means of escape. And before they were able to get out of the smoke cloud, Lazarus bowls through them like bowling pins. Excellent
Amazing.
Move there. We've got 1 week left to go. Things to watch going into that last week. Space Station Gaming only has 5 points behind Player One Esports, so they're still very much in contention to qualify for the GLL Grand Slam. Wildcard Gaming is 11th with 147 points, while Envy is at 10th with 156. They'll be fighting it out to see who gets bumped down to relegation. And Accelerate Gaming, Denial Esports, Simplicity, Pecadors, and BMG are almost certainly going to be relegated at this point. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 97.5 and 1280 AM The Zone in Salt Lake City, as well as ESPN Kenai 1140 in Alaska. Time now to turn our attention over to the LCS. Back from that summer split.
Yeah, Norris, I got to tell you, man, usually in years past, like MSI happens and we get eliminated in group stages and we've got like a month of downtime to wait. It feels like we were just watching
MSI feels like it was literally last week, man.
So Team Liquid returns from MSI. They said they were feeling a bit burned out from all the travel and play. They said that they hadn't really practiced a whole lot. Well, it certainly didn't show in their first game against TSM. They smashed TSM.
I'm starting to believe that when they play against TSM, there's just going to be a raise in a level of play from Impact. I think they really want to go into the split and sort of assert the fact that even if they drop games elsewhere, they're going to be better than TSM.
Right. Well, and I mean, that's the thing is a lot of times you play up to your talent, mm-hmm. You play up to your competition. I mean, they smashed TSM in under 30 minutes. Then they get beaten by Echo Fox on Sunday. But I don't think for any minute that Echo Fox is a better team than Liquid.
No, not at all.
CLG demolishes 100 Thieves. Biofrost picks Yumi, marking her debut in North America. He hard carried and went on record after the match saying that she is completely broken.
Now, have 100 Thieves done any rebuilding?
Yeah. 100 Thieves signed on two new players.
They brought on a new jungler, amazing.
And their top laner?
Yes.
Yeah, or Soligo. So they brought on two new players. Man, it did not get off to the start they were hoping.
Yeah, it didn't
seem to
look like it made much of a dent.
Yeah, there were moments where Amazing, you know, kind of looked lost on Sejuani in the jungle.
Their communication looked awful.
It looked really poor.
It's weird, too, because it got worse as the game went on. Because early on, they lost the kill, but their objective control around Dragon was really good. They got the first Rift Herald. They get the Rift Herald on a great play and then completely wasted in top lane. Don't even get a turret off of it.
Yeah,
that was
it
weird.
Was not good.
Now, someone that you had said to keep an eye on after MSI was Golden Guardians.
Yeah. I said I was going to be interested to watch them to see was the first phase a fluke or what. They're too well.
I don't know.
It's
not looking much like a fluke. I got to say that they look pretty damn strong.
Yeah. I mean, Golden Guardians beat both Echo Fox and FlyQuest to get to 2-0. Cloud9 beat FlyQuest and Clutch to get to 2-0. We also got a big announcement in relation to the LCS, and that is that the LCS Summer Split in 2019, the playoffs are going to be held right here, Detroit, Michigan.
Boy.
They are coming to the Pizza Palace, Little Caesars Arena. That's going to be happening on August 24th and 25th. They are bringing back the third place match, which they'd done away with for the spring split. They're bringing that back. That'll happen Friday, August 24th, and then the grand finals will be held on Saturday, August 25th.
I mean, that's so exciting.
That is huge. And I mean, it's huge not just for League of Legends. It's huge not just for 100 Thieves, because because obviously
Rocket Mortgage,
Quicken Loans is going to be the main sponsor on this. But I think it's a big deal for the Midwest and esports in the Midwest.
I mean, at this point, you know, those LCS finals, you're going to have kids from, you know, Chicago, Cleveland, you
Pittsburgh, Philly.
Yeah. You know, Columbus. Well, Philly's more the East Coast, but still.
Philly will be here, I promise.
But they'll be here. You're going to have a lot of people from those areas that are going to be here in Detroit, and I think this is a great place for them to have it.
Oh, absolutely. And listen, I think that this is an opportunity for the Midwest to show everyone on a global scale, listen, we're here to play.
We're here for esports.
Absolutely.
We're here for esports.
Absolutely. All right, well, listen, we got to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. What were you watching over the weekend? Are you excited for the Summer Split finals coming to Detroit?
Yes.
We want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow with the latest in esports and gaming news with Sarah Skopic. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.